Hello, welcome to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. Every Wednesday, noon to 1, on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Hope you're listening to us online at kkfi.org, because sometimes you're not always near a radio in your car or at home. So today, terrific lineup of guests. We've got Karen Garrity Folk with the Nerman Museum of Contemporary Art, minus Bruce Hartman. He's ill today, and we wish you well, Bruce Hartman, and come back sometime when you're better. We also have in the studio Gus Davis and Paul McDaniel. They're going to talk about their boombox made, speaker box made out of beautiful vintage suitcases. And then we also have in the studio today Joel Barrett, who's a wonderful performer, writer. He's going to be he's an LGBTQ writer, speaker, and mentor, and he's just a lovely presence in our studio today. So we're going to get started by talking with Gus Davis and Paul McDaniel. So let me give you a little background that Gus said, and this is an interview that I had written, that I had read about him, that a couple of years ago when one of his three daughters called him to fix a speaker box that she had purchased while visiting California, the speaker wasn't working. And so when she called the people to find out how much it would cost, it was just going to be a little bit pricey. So Gus noticed that there was really nothing in there, and you know what? I'm going to let him pick it up from there. Welcome, my friend, Gus Davis.
Glad to be here, Mary.
Terrific. Well, you know, that's wonderful that stuff happens out of a need-based, you know, situation, and one was that with your daughter. So take it up from there. You looked at this and thought...
Well, I said to myself, everything in that box is available online. And I went online, found the parts, replaced the parts, and the business has grown since then.
That's beautiful. You know, it's called GDD Boombox, and each boombox is lovingly handcrafted and outfitted with brand new electrical and audio equipment, battery and charger, and they're just really lovely. If you have seen our Facebook page for this particular program today, you'll see photos of some various suitcases, different colors, shapes, and all, and just really lovely. And please tell us your website.
The website is gddboombox@gmail.com.
Yeah. So in the past 2 years, you've sold quite a few of the boomboxes, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. And then we also have with Gus, we also have Paul McDaniel. Welcome, Paul.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So what is your role in this, too?
Well, actually, I'm Gus's mouthpiece. I've had sales experience.
Yeah.
So we're next-door neighbors. Gus happened to walk over to the house and had a boombox with him, one of his earlier features. And I looked at it, and I just kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And so he was, you know, speaking to me about the boomboxes, and he said, you know, we ought to go out and maybe sell a couple of these. And I said, well, Gus, that sounds great. So we've been kind of kicking it, you know, ever since.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. Well, and I want to ask you about your experience with electrical and all that. I understand that you took some woodworking and some mechanical classes at high school, but beyond that, what...
I was drafted into the Army. And they found out through their aptitude tests that I had an ability for electronics. So they trained me even more. And then I got out of the service and went to work for Xerox here in Kansas City. I worked for them for 12 years. And then after that, I went to work for Philips as an electrician out there for them. Got a lot of background in electrical.
Yeah, you know, your boom boxes are so much fun. Again, they're that retro suitcase turned boom box. Who are some of the people that carry these around? Who would be interested in the suitcase turned boom box? What sort of performers?
It turns out that most of our clients are people just mainstream. There are some musicians that have our boxes. There are also some artists here in town, Syke Styles and Chico Sierra, that have them, and it just continues to grow.
So with the suitcases, are there some that are better suited for your boom boxes, or is there sort of a challenge in whatever people bring to you that want a boom box?
Well, basically, I think they're all a challenge as far as it comes down to design. So we'll look at it from a smaller suitcase up to a large suitcase, which would be like a luggage carrier. So we basically look at it. Customer might bring it in. They'll tell us a life story, actually, about the suitcase. And then from that life story, you know, we will kind of look at a design, and then we'll put that together with them. And then we basically do a custom with the customer in mind. And then after that, Gus takes over.
I like the wooden vintage cases the best because wood seems to me to resonate better and produce a more mellow sound to my ear. It's easier to work with.
But are they difficult to find, the wooden base?
Very difficult. Even more so now that everybody's looking at collecting them for decorating, you know, their rooms with or... Yeah. Or to make boxes themselves.
How small is too small for consideration for a boombox?
Well, basically, right now, I think Gus has got a project that's going on, and that's with a box that's probably 2 inches deep. And then a
small briefcase.
And so with that, you know, he has to look at the surface and as far as the depth of the speakers and then also the depth of the battery that we have to put in. So a lot of, you know, different components have to fit in a particular
space
of a box. Yep. So it can be challenging at times, but for the most part, I think pretty well met those challenges. But I'll have to say, Gus took on a project, and it is a front end of a Jeep. Now, you can take this to grill. We've got the grill. He's got the grill sitting in his family room. And it's navy blue.
Pretty.
Very pretty. Excellent. So I'm looking at it, and I said, well, Gus, how are you going to do this? And so he says, well, we put speakers here and here.
Where the lights were.
And then there's the parking lights down below. So I said, so what are you going to do? They said, well, that's probably where the
full range of the tweeters will probably
go in there. So right now, I think we're still brainstorming, you know, what we're going to do with the back of it yet. But so there's always a challenge. And
again,
this comes down to the customer themselves, the ideas that they have. And then we try to come back and produce it to where you have a viable product. So far we've been pretty challenged. We've probably met almost all of our challenges. So
you do work closely with your clients, and if they want something specific, something
sure,
a little bit more
yes.
than just, you know, pick it up and go. Right.
We try and design the product to meet their needs. An example would be one of Paul's friends, classmates, came to us with a toolbox that had been custom painted on the East Coast.
Wow.
And he didn't want any of the painting disturbed. So I ended up putting a board inside where I mounted all the components, the speakers, so that he could continue on showing his box when he goes to car shows without having any of the
messed
up.
Yeah. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and I'm talking to Paul McDaniel and Gus Davis of GDD Boombox, which is a retro suitcase turned into boombox, and you're just really delightful. I met you at the Makers Faire this past fall, and I was really impressed. Of course, the Makers Faire is just an awesome collection of people who make things and are very ingenious, and you don't know what you're going to find down there. So I was very happy to meet up with you, and I thought, I got to have this guy on. But after that, you've got other events, or I should say places that you're going to take your boombox, and tell us more about that.
Well, we go to some very small venues sometimes. We ended up in Clearwater, Kansas for a week-long event down there. We didn't know it was a week long. We thought it was only one day.
Oops.
And it was one of the better events for us. One was Applejack Pumpkin Patch in Andover, Kansas, which was a very big surprise. And we did the River Festival in Wichita. And I also did a Makers Faire in Houston, Texas for my daughters. And we expect to, I expect to expand because my kids all live in Texas now. So I'll be back and forth. I just got back from visiting with them just over the last couple of days.
That's pretty awesome. Now, you yourself, do you hunt for suitcases so that you can continue and kind of showcase what you do?
I go to antique stores. I have a friend who loves to go to garage sales, antique stores, and all this other stuff. He does all of that. He is probably the primary source of our speakers. That's Fred McMichaels, my buddy.
You know, I was going to ask you, too, is size in terms of being too large, is that a problem? Is that I know you mentioned it's a challenge, but any size you can turn into a boombox.
You can turn into a boombox.
Yeah. Yes.
We have a boombox, actually, that's on wheels.
Hmm.
And it's basically a carry-on suitcase, and it stands probably about 32 inches tall.
Uh-huh.
And it's great for, let's say if you want to go to a football game.
Hmm.
You want to
mm-hmm.
tailgate. So rather than have to carry it, you roll it.
Yeah.
And it has great sound, and it really sets itself out there as far as the quality of sound with the size of the suitcase.
Well, I know through the years as our technology changes and, you know, we went from, you know, the video cameras that were like this big to, you know, just very small to our cameras. There, for me, I have an old metal case that has this huge, you know, camera in it. Metal cases, would they make a good boombox, or is it a little too tinny, or what are your thoughts?
Most of the metal cases have a interior wood lining.
Uh-huh.
I mean, especially if it's an older case.
Uh-huh.
I have taken toolboxes from like Harbor Freight and made them into boomboxes.
So you could do it.
I could do it. I have metal cutting equipment. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know that your website, again, is gddboombox@gmail.com.
Yes.
And you can see on the website, you can see a range of suitcases that you've created into boomboxes. But also you can see some, I know, Quixotic, I believe, there's a performer there who's listening to the music and she's performing on her the fabric,
right scarves, yeah. That look like, you know,
yeah,
long scarves,
yeah,
hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, so they're very portable. So how do they work? How do you sync them up? Do you sync them up? I mean, can you sync them up on your phone or your iPad?
They are Bluetooth enabled,
okay,
and they are also switchable on the inside so that you can use a 3.5 input auxiliary.
Mm-hmm.
So you can plug your CD players that aren't Bluetooth enabled, MP3 players that aren't Bluetooth. You just headphone out into the box.
Well, and I know as we were in the green room talking and introduced you to John Todd, the radio god, here on KKFY, we love him. You were talking about guitars and maybe having those for guitars.
I have been asked a number of times by customers wanting a box that they could plug a guitar into or a microphone. I have ancillary equipment that I bought that enables the person to be able to do it, but the equipment itself is AC only. So it's not as portable as I'd like it to be, and I'm still in search of some product out there. There has to be somewhere where they make that. So it is DC and portable. And once I find that, then I will incorporate it into the boxes.
And that's going to be a game changer, isn't it?
It will be.
Yeah.
It will be.
Because, I mean, this has been very successful. I think people love the fact that it's unique and it's one of a kind.
It's individual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there anything that I left out that you wanted to talk about? Again, upcoming events or where they can... you have a blog? Or no?
No,
am I
we
making
don't
that
have
up?
A blog.
Okay.
No, we're not.
I like to make up things on the show.
We're still kind of old school.
Yeah, but you guys are you know, just have this wonderful product. So, repurposing vintage suitcases into portable hi-fi audio systems. Did you ever think that was in your future? I mean, it was just...
I didn't have any plans. I hadn't really planned much of my future. Things just happened to me, and fortunately, they're all good.
Yeah.
Very good. Again, gddboombox@gmail.com. And you're both from Salina, Kansas, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I bet I bet there's a huge following of folks in Salina, Kansas.
More
that
and more.
Really, yeah, yeah.
More and more as we grow. Yes, exactly.
Very good. And you'll be at the Makers Fair this year.
Oh, we definitely will be here. Yes.
And do you? What time of the year does that happen? It seems like I forget.
Sometime in July, I think, or August.
Okay.
I'm thinking July. Yeah. When it's nice and warm.
If folks are interested in finding out more about your boombox, can they contact you directly or through the...
They can call me. Phone number's on the website, or they can text me, and I respond. And if I don't respond, my daughter, who is like my business manager, she'll contact me.
She cleans up all the messes for
me.
I love that. Well, I thank you so much for coming in today. And when you check out the website, you'll find a lot of media attention, TV reporters and articles written about you and Paul. And just really, you learn more about what your craft is about. And www.gddboombox@gmail.com.
That's right.
Very good. Thank you all for coming in today. And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. This is ArtSpeak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd with you here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We had the lovely Joel Barrett here in studio. We just love our Joel Barrett. He is an LGBT writer, speaker, and mentor. He's also a performer, and we're going to talk to him about what's happening in his life because he's just a force to be reckoned with. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you, Maria. It's always great to be on and great to see you. I don't get to see enough of you.
I know, right? You know, there's been a lot that's happened since we last had you on here, because I think you were fairly new to town.
Yeah.
So catch us up to speed.
Well, my husband David and I love Kansas City. Yeah. Let me just say that. It has been a really great move for us. We moved here almost exactly a year ago from South Bend, Indiana. It kind of took that first year to just kind of get our feet wet and just kind of observe and figure out what we might be involved in. And now I am cutting loose and getting involved in lots.
Well, yeah. You know what? I'm sorry that I missed your performance. Was it last night or the night before at Lucky Deluxe, Suzanne Lee's
Outburst.
Yes. Tell us about that.
On the second Sunday of every month, I am doing something called first of all, let's say it's at the Outburst Performance Gallery down at the crossroads around the 17th and Wyandotte. And I'm doing something called Sexual Sunday School. And since you know a little bit of my past, in another life, I was a conservative Baptist pastor. Mm-hmm. And
we still love you.
That's right. And now happily married to my husband of 11 years next week.
Yeah. Oh, and congratulations.
Thank you. So it's my desire. I created this thing called Sexual Sunday School, and it's kind of a parody on Sunday School. I say it's where sex education and entertainment hook up. And it's a parody on Sunday School, but it's all about sex. So it has a lot of the elements. We'll have stories and readings and games that we play. But most importantly, what I do is I involve a local sex, what I call a sexpert, as someone in the area that really has knowledge and skills. We have some sex therapists come on. And I do an interview with them, and then we take question and answers from the audience. And so it's a safe, sex-positive space, but we can have fun. And it's a little irreverent, and it's a lot of fun, but ultimately it's about actually having healthy discussions about everything that falls under that word sex.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
You know, I want to ask you about the audience then. Is it limited to over 18?
It is.
21? Because of the subject of...
I would say that would be up to a parent's discretion, maybe.
Okay.
But we don't hold back. I'll just say that. So if you were to bring someone young, they would probably get a little sex education, which isn't a bad thing.
Not a bad thing.
It's certainly not limited to... I say it's open to anybody who might possibly be having sex.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. There's always that. www.joelspeaksout.com is your website. And you also have a blog.
Yes. All of the website is my blog as well. Mm-hmm. And then all of our social media, it all falls under Joel Speaks Out. So you can find me on any social media platforms under that term.
And you've been writing for freelance writing, mm-hmm. you know, for publications here in town, right?
Right, yes. Yeah. I write for the Phoenix Newsletter a lot and mm-hmm. A few other places that I've written for. But most oftenly, I'm in the Phoenix Newsletter, a couple of articles. And on this past issue, I managed to, didn't even know it was going to happen. I wrote an article, and I did include myself in it. And it's a cover article, so you'll see my picture along with some other local artists that are doing queer theater things in the area on the cover of the Phoenix.
Did you ever expect something like this would happen to you once you arrived in Kansas City? Because I think a lot of people have this notion that Kansas City is, of course, the barbecue and the blues and this and that. But did you realize that it was going to be this thriving in terms of the writing community and performance?
No, I really, in fact, I just posted on my personal Facebook page this morning about how grateful I am for Kansas City, because it's really refreshing to be in a city that values the arts, history, mm-hmm. entrepreneurship, and seems to make pathways for people to really do something and actually have some funding available as well. And that's pretty rare in today's society. A lot of places that's not possible. So Kansas City really honors that, and it's a very mm-hmm. dynamic city with so much going on.
And I think we support one another in the arts, whether it be performance, music, writing, and all that. I think we just sort of lift each other up.
Even this very station. I mean, there's so much that
goes through. Oh, that was great.
KKFI.
I love that. Yeah.
I mean, and when I came here, everybody was like, oh, you've got to know about KKFI. I mean, it's just a very respected station and all that it's been doing. Yeah. As a community radio station.
Well, and I think we're just a reflection of the community.
I think so.
You know, and we want to serve, you know, so many mm-hmm. people here in Kansas City, LGBT. We, you know, we've got a lot of public affairs programs on Saturdays, women's song, mm-hmm. all kinds of things. So there's always a good fit.
We're
glad that you're here, because we love hearing about what all the good things that's happening.
So can I tell you what's going on tomorrow night?
No, but thank you for coming. Absolutely.
So tomorrow night, once again, at the Outburst Performance Gallery, is the second show, monthly show that I'm doing, mm-hmm. and that's on the third Thursday of every month, and it's Outwards, LGBTQ Storytelling. Mm-hmm. So I really strongly believe in the importance of our history, or herstory, keeping that alive in the LGBT community. It's very easy for that to just kind of fade and not be recorded. And so I believe in the power of telling our stories, no matter how, I hate to say, use the word mundane, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. I'm not looking for some dramatic story or even necessarily a coming out story, but rather just what was important to each of these storytellers. So I've got 6 or 7 storytellers from the LGBTQ community that will be sharing every month. So I'm recruiting some of those storytellers, and so that's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I've got Andy Chambers, Rashawn Gilmore, David Wayne Reed, Annette Billings, and Nora, and sorry, Nora, if I mispronounce your name, Mecco, I believe is how it's pronounced, and then I'll be telling a story as well.
Now, is it going to be a rotating group of writers?
Every month will be different.
Oh, yeah.
Every month will be different.
So,
and I'm working very hard to make sure that it's a diverse group in every way, racially, gender identity, mm-hmm. sexual orientation, all of those things. I want to include everybody in that.
That's lovely. I really like that idea. I love storytelling and you know, just for the very fact of storytelling, but I like to learn more about people. And so you kind of think you might know this person. I mean, we all mm-hmm. love our David Wayne Reed, but he's just, he's got a beautiful story to tell, just like all the other
stories. Humanize us and keep us from just being the other, or, you know, having grown up in the environments that I grew up in the very conservative churches, the only thing I knew about the gay community were these very... these images that were described to me from the pulpit of what would be very outlandish behavior at a San Francisco gay pride parade or Folsom Street or something like that. And, you know, it was very easy to be that's those people out there and we're against them. And so when you start telling your stories, you realize no matter who it is, suddenly that becomes a person instead of an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, or something other than me.
Absolutely right. And I can tell our listeners that as part of your history, you are a survivor of ex-gay therapy, mm-hmm. Sometimes called conversion therapy. And so just that in itself you know, people can gain so much understanding or awareness about not only who you are, but about this whole concept.
Yes, yes. And I tell many stories. I keep toying between a couple of different stories for tomorrow night that I'll be telling, but one of them might be about that. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's really important. It's important that we all share our stories, no matter who we are. But
yeah.
I think within the LGBTQ community, I don't know how much time we have left.
Go ahead.
But
okay.
I'll tell you a story that I often talk about is when I was first coming out and, you know, had been a Baptist pastor, and I'd never been to a gay bar or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I really didn't even know a lot of gays, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I started seeing this guy, and he was like, oh, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. She's transgender, and I was there along with her journey when I took her for different surgeries and all this stuff. And he's like, I want to go have drinks with her. And, you know, coming from my background, I hadn't knowingly ever interacted with a transgender person. And so I was kind of like, what is this going to be like? You know, I was kind of freaked out by it because it was so foreign to him. It was so out of my realm of knowledge. And so we went to this little bar and we sat down. It was, you know, it was just like 6 o'clock in the evening or something. It wasn't like a club night or anything. We're just sitting there sharing drinks. And I just was like really nervous about the whole situation. So I'm just kind of sitting there listening as she and he are talking. And as I sat there, I saw this woman share with my friend, and it was about her job and her cats and where she lived. Mm. And me just sitting there observing and listening, suddenly all of this prejudice that I didn't even realize I had began melting away because I realized she's just a woman like me trying to live her life. And it was just the power of those. She doesn't even know the impact that conversation had on me, but it was just a conversation.
Thank you for sharing that with us, because, I mean, it's true. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you just tuned in, I can tell you that I'm talking to Joel Barrett, who is an LGBTQ writer, speaker, and mentor, and his website is www.joelspeaksout.com. Also included with that is a blog. So, Joel, you know, you're really doing so many different things, and we love that you're here in Kansas City. As you're talking about the storytellers and, you know, the different folks that you're going to have in the performance space, is there any sort of down the road a project that might include recording the stories of these folks and then offering it as a CD, maybe with a little bit of music, because, in a sense, something like StoryCorps.
Yes, yeah. Well, I tell all my storytellers, because these are not everybody is necessarily an experienced or trained storyteller, so
sure,
to speak.
Sure.
But that's okay. I say it's in the style of StoryCorps or The Moth.
Yeah.
And I encourage them to go listen and say, you know, this is what it's a 7 to 10 minute story. But yes, that is my goal, is to record and archive these and distribute at some point. Right now, I'm collecting. So.
Yeah, because I know you have a history of podcasts and your experience and all that. So it really makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, because there are so many stories that I would love to learn about, but maybe, you know, conflict of, you know, whatever is going on in my life, I'm not able to be there, but it would be lovely to listen. Just putting a bee in your bonnet.
No, it's on my radar.
Oh, I'm sure.
Both that and Special Sunday School, I plan to do a little more with than just have a live show.
Uh-huh. Are you ever going to maybe record it?
Yeah,
for like YouTube or anything?
Mm-hmm. No, that's my goal, and I'll probably edit it down into a usable kind of clip that could be used on YouTube or something, and people can see, especially the part with the, we'll do a little bit of everything, but especially the part with the expert, because it's really great information. We had some great conversation this past Sunday, just about attitudes and how things impact us, and next month I'll be having a conversation with a sex therapist about the concepts of polyamory and monogamy and what does all that mean, and you know, so these are conversations that we need to be having. We can't
and it's not just titillating, it's you know, educating.
Right.
Yeah, I like that word.
Especially when we're talking about Sexual Sunday School.
Well, yeah.
Titillating.
Yeah. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah.
And in the horizon, you have other projects going on?
I do. I'm working on a leadership series right now of personal development called the Joel Speaks Out Cafe. I've had one as a kind of a test run, and I'm looking at a way to get that out there, and that will be it's actually kind of a concept of a restaurant where you make a reservation and I cook in my home and I am limited to 10 people, but we also have someone come in and do it. We have a topic that we'll be discussing. So it's a salon style, all about personal development. Ryan Wilkes was actually my first guest.
We love you, Ryan.
Yes, and we talked about releasing and honoring your creativity. So I asked everybody to come with one or two ideas that they've had inside of them that they're like, oh, this is a great idea. I don't know what to do with it, or I'd like to pursue, but you know, We all have those, you know. And so Ryan presented about how to start giving life to our ideas that are there, because they're there for a reason. And then we workshopped those as a group and individuals, and we just all went away feeling really empowered to take the next steps and actually bringing life to these ideas. So I'm going to be doing some more of that. Hope to partner with some organizations here, and it'll be a series, and it'll be a different kind of personal development. Designed for leadership, leaders, or creatives. And so, yeah, we'd be looking for more on that.
Well, the only thing that could be better about the cafe things, you know, with the different speakers, pairing it with Amway, because you want to build that pyramid. You want to have an army of people underneath you.
I'm just going to ignore that comment.
I love you, Joel. You're a dear. And again, joelspeaksout.com, and you have a blog. Any last words, anything that we left out? Because, you know, we do have such a connection and have a love, mutual love for one another. I don't want to shortchange you if there was something that you wanted to mention.
No, I appreciate you having me on, and just keep up with all the different things that are happening. I do a lot of writing. I'm getting ready to publish. I was just working on a blog post this morning that will share some of my history, because I've been getting a lot of questions about the XK therapy. And I realized I haven't written an awful lot about it, and so I'm writing a piece about that, just a short piece, but it'll give people a little overview. And I just spoke this past weekend at Bethel College in Newton, Kansas, the Mennonite school, and shared my story. And I'm going to be editing some of those down to a video clip, too, as well, that can be used. So there's a lot going on. I'm excited.
Yeah. We're glad that you're here in Kansas City, my friend.
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be with you, Maria. You're one of the great people that we've met since we've been here.
Get out. Well, again, tomorrow night is the performance at the
8 o'clock
Outburst.
At Outburst Performance Galleries, basically at the corner of 17th and Wyandotte.
And I believe that would probably be posted on Susanna Lee's website.
And on my social media as well. So.
Terrific. Come back and see us soon, yes?
Thank you, Maria, yes.
You bet. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. Hey, this is Maria Vasquez-Boyd with ArtSpeak Radio, broadcasting live every Wednesday, noon to 1 Central Standard Time, and streaming live audio at www.kkfi.org. Up next, we have Karen Garrity Folk, who is on the staff of the Nerman Museum. They're on the campus of the Johnson County Community College at 12345 College Boulevard, Overland Park, Kansas. She's going to talk about, well, she's a curator of education, and she is going to talk about the different classes that they have offered and really just fill us in about the Nerman Museum of Contemporary Art. I do want to tell you that the Public Art Review magazine named Johnson County Community College as one of the top college campuses for public art in America. And that's huge. And citing the artwork installed throughout the campus, the Nerman Museum has one of the top internationally acclaimed collections of emerging and established artists today, and represent the region's most important exhibitions of leading-edge contemporary art. And this year, they're celebrating their 10th anniversary. So welcome, my friend, Karen Garrity Folk.
Thank you so much, Maria, for inviting me over.
You bet. And again, we want to wish Bruce Hartman get well soon, my friend. He'll be back sometime when he's better, but he'll come back on the air. But we want to find out about some of the education programs that are offered there at the Nerman Museum of Contemporary Art.
Yes. Well, I'm very glad to visit with you. And we have such a wide array of programs and resources. With our position at the community college, we have a steady stream of visitors who are on campus for academic reasons, but also for business meetings, and the campus really is a place for the community to come together. So when we are thinking of our accessibility and our pamphlets and wall text and anybody who might walk through the door, it really isn't one particular demographic that we're working with. So when I work with education, it's basically the interpretive role of the museum. So our collections and exhibitions are the source of our material to focus for our education. And then I'm thinking about gateways and different entry points for people, whether they're beginners or if they're scholars or if they're art enthusiasts or they just happen to be wandering around campus and wanted to eat lunch in our cafe and they're like, oh, there's a museum here. So they could be unwilling or unknowing that they're going to have an encounter with art. So it's really exciting.
And I want to mention, I do want to ask you, as far as the education programs and classes that you have offered, are they geared for a specific age?
Yes. We have a series of studio classes that are an outcropping or outgrowth of our tour program. Our tour program starts with preschool, K through 12, college groups, and then our studio program is geared towards kindergarten through second grade, and then other classes are third through sixth grade. So we bring out those young people who are very creative naturally and without inhibition. So that's really fun to have them come out and learn about the art and make something unique.
Yeah, never too young to get them started in art and get them interested in the world of art and really exploring possibilities and seeing something new and different. So your classes, how often are they scheduled in terms of their summer, winter, fall?
We have Saturday workshops all throughout the academic year. They're 2-hour workshops, so they can be one-time-only classes where the child makes the project and takes it home that day, or they can sign up for all four for their age group each semester. In the summer, we have weekday programs, and some of those are 4 days long, but they're still scheduled within a 2-hour time frame. So it's an intense but brief encounter with the art.
Now, I should mention that you joined the Nerman Museum staff 11 years ago.
Yes.
So that was, and that was currently, well, that was when the Nerman was under construction, right?
Yes.
So, gosh, a lot of changes, I'm sure, in just that 10 years. Anything special, any upcoming sort of celebrations for the 10th year?
Absolutely. So we opened the museum after having a history of about 18 years with exhibitions in our gallery of art. So we had great relationships with artists from around the country, international artists. Many artists had their first show at our gallery space before they went on to bigger fame. So my director, Bruce Hartman, has cultivated relationships for a long time, since 1991. And celebrating the 10th anniversary of our museum building, we are doing a gala celebration April 29th with an auction. And the Beyond Bounds auction is something that we have offered 11 times. This is our 11th event. So it's not every year. I'm back with the gallery days. And a selection of over 200 artists were invited to create a unique work of art under a theme. And the theme this year is dazzling. So the artists are all making artwork with glitter, pearlescent materials.
Wow.
And it's just going to be a thrilling installation April 29th for people to come out and do silent and live auction, as well as celebrating the wonderful 10 years that we've had of programming and exhibitions.
Well, and the website, if folks are wanting more information, would that be NermanMuseum.org?
Yes.
Okay, terrific. You know, 10 years, there's, again, been so many changes. And currently, I should say that at the gallery, there's a couple of shows. One I've only written, I started to write this other. I have Everything, Nothing, Something, Don Cotman, and that runs through March 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And then Domestic Scene, I Got Interrupted, and that, I think, runs through March, right?
Yes, at the end of March, we have two spaces on the first floor. As soon as people walk in, they'll see the Don Cotman exhibition. And Don is an artist from Kansas City, spends much of the year in Canada where he teaches. And he has a selection of works from his sketchbook on view in our Kansas Focus Gallery. So as soon as people walk in, they see this glass space with all these wonderful abstract sketches up on the wall from artist Don Cotman. He is actually coming out in March as our third Thursday speaker to talk more about his work. And in our temporary exhibition space is also on the first floor is a seven-person show called Domestic Scene. So we have two of those artists, Tom Kiefer and Sean Lyman, coming out to speak tomorrow at Third Thursday.
That's terrific. Do people have to make reservations in order to attend?
No.
Is that best?
No. With our museum, we're open and ready for people to just walk in. We ask that classes or groups from 10 or more, please let us know on our tour request form if they can, so just so we are prepared and we can help manage the space. If we happen to have field trips with 100 fourth graders coming through, we might suggest that they wait until that's over.
Yeah.
But like you mentioned, we have the public art all around campus, and that gives us a tremendous resource. And so we can offer tours even on Mondays or days when the galleries are closed or early mornings. So we have about 400 artworks from the museum's collection in the hallway corridors. Mm-hmm. Outside around campus, there's a sculpture park. The whole campus is filled with an array of contemporary art, ranging from American Indian work to the best in contemporary ceramics.
And I want to give our listeners that address again. It's very, very simple. 12345 College Boulevard, there in Overland Park, Kansas. Just right off of College Boulevard, and I forget what the other street is.
Quivira.
Quivira.
Yeah, so really close to where I-35 and 435 meet.
So what are some other exhibitions you were looking forward to?
Well,
after
Bruce will have to come back and tell you more details about the summer show after this after this fundraiser auction. It's an incredible amount of effort on our staff to pull this together with all the artists involved. But this summer he's planning a sculpture exhibition, which will run until September. Kansas City is hosting International Sculpture Convention. So our first floor will be transformed once again after the glittery auction. And what we're going to really look forward to is our summer programs of classes have already been scheduled, and enrollment opened February 1st online.
Mm-hmm.
So people can sign up for those classes. We have some tours booked for next fall already. So sometimes people come out regardless of what the changing show is.
Yeah.
And in those cases, we have our entire second floor is dedicated to permanent collections. So we have a great range of artworks where people can come out and see seven spaces in the museum building, even when the first floor is in transition for a couple of weeks. So that'll be fun. It's always an excitement. It's a time where I am learning a lot about the artwork, and my background is art history. And with contemporary art, you really can't be an expert because it's evolving. And and like I said, sometimes we're giving an artist their first show. So we'll be doing research, we'll be interviewing the artists, and pulling together the scholarship as the show is up. So I don't know all the answers. And it's really exciting when we bring the children and the other groups in, and they're asking us questions, they're making observations and pointing out things that we didn't notice before. And so really they're part of that conversation when we're just getting to know the artworks and they're coming at it with fresh eyes.
That's beautiful. I love how that works. I think sometimes, and I was an art educator myself, and think of that, I knew this and I knew that, and I could share with them, what I knew. But, again, just looking through their eyes and listening to them, their observations are very important.
Absolutely.
You learn so much from them. I have to say, it's got to be a really a terrific feather in the cap of Johns County Community College as being one of the top 10 college campuses for public art in America.
Absolutely. And I want to point that out. That was before the museum building even opened. So having accessibility with the collection goes way back to 1990 and our sculpture collection even before that with outdoor sculpture. And the idea is that the community college can be a place for dialogue and celebrating the artwork of our time. Mm-hmm. It's giving people a source of conversation or critique even. It's not just beautifying the hallways.
Yeah.
In
a
way, it does.
Yeah.
But really, if people stop to look at it, sometimes sometimes the artwork is challenging, and sometimes it's weird, and sometimes it's unexpected, and there might be layers to it, so you can appreciate it at different levels. It might at first seem like a benign landscape, but then you look closely and you see the little details, yeah. and you wonder, are those people? And
please share with us,
okay?
You know, share with us, our listeners, some of the artists that you have on your walls or out on the campus as sculptures, because I think you'll be surprised.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have works by Barry Flanagan, who's recently passed away, but he has artwork all over the country and in Europe. We have sculpture by Jonathan Borofsky up on the roof of the Commons building.
And that was kind of controversial
yeah.
at the time.
Yeah, it? I think the position yeah. of it, it's a life-size figure that that from a distance looks like a real person, but it really is, you know, I think it's 8 foot tall and kind of a mannequin, really, if you look at it up close. But people think, oh, there's somebody standing on the edge. We have several abstract works. We have works by Kansas City artists as well. So you can see a gigantic pushcart sculpture by Michael Sarnoff and an eagle sculpture at our Police Academy entrance by Laura DeAngelis. So we really do try to celebrate the talent that we have in our region, as well as internationally and nationally known artists.
You never know who's going to be around the corner in terms of what's hanging on the
yeah.
walls within the buildings
sure.
and all.
Yeah, and people use the artwork as landmarks to find their way around. And we're trying to do more to build awareness of the artist's background and the basics of what is the sculpture, so people can do their own research if they want to know mm-hmm. more. One of the misconceptions people have is that all the artwork they see on the walls around campus was made by a student.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to mm-hmm. make a note, well, they were a student at one point, but they've gone on to achieve
yeah.
Quite successful professional acclaim.
With this 10th anniversary, are you thinking about maybe a catalog of the collection of the exhibition of the permanent collection or
yeah.
or maybe just of guest artists?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure the scope of the catalog, what it's going to be like. But we are, I will mention that we're in the process of archiving all of our exhibitions back to 1990 on our website.
Yeah.
So I'm now engrossed in writing about shows that happened in 1995. So that was, I was still in high school. And,
oh my God.
And but it was amazing to see
yeah.
some of these shows that Bruce put together. And so the archive on our website, I think, is going to serve as a template. So we see these are mm-hmm. an amazing array of, you know, I want to say it's close to 200 exhibitions that we've had. And the permanent collection is over 1,400 pieces now. So I don't imagine that every single artwork is going to be reproduced in the catalog. But
sure,
we're looking
sure.
forward to that project. So in addition to running the summer camps, I'm also going to be putting my art history hat on and working with local scholars to pull together that amazing celebration book.
That's going to be amazing. It really is, because I remember when the gallery was very small, and it was just on in Yardley Hall.
Yeah, we were in the Performing Arts Building.
Yeah.
So.
And it's moved on to this beautiful structure. Very, you know, there's so much light in there. And
yeah.
Nerman. Very
yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, that's been a really fun space to work, and we do have our challenges with taking the school field trips through the college hallways, and we're trying to be quiet. You know, there's classes and offices here. We keep the group small, but we're lucky to have a great group of volunteer docents who work with me, and so we can divide them up and rotate around in different spaces.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, it's just amazing having the new eyes come through. So we might think, okay, I've given 20 tours on this particular sculpture. I think I know it pretty well. And then there's just a different perspective
yeah.
comes through.
Yeah.
So it keeps us on our toes.
Well, congratulations on the 10th anniversary. Curator of Education, Karen Garrity Folk, please come back. And we'll have Executive Director Bruce Hartman back as soon as he gets better. Sounds like there's a lot of work ahead, but really appreciate that. The Nerman Museum of Contemporary Art is here in Overland Park. Website is www.nermanmuseum.org. Thank you so much, Karen, for joining us
Thank
today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
You bet. And I want to, as our program closes, again, I'm going to thank Karen Garrity Folk, Paul McDaniel, Gus Davis, and Joel Barrett. Next week, gosh, it's going to be the end of February. We have Kelly Vodka as Heather Collinsworth, Sherry Hall, and Ian Statton. They're going to join us live in the KKFI studio. I want to mention that you should Stay tuned for my love bug, Jeff Harshbarger, who just celebrated his birthday. Jazz afternoon at 1 o'clock. And please like us on Facebook, Art Speak Radio on Facebook. You can also subscribe to the podcast either through our website, KKFI.org, or through iTunes. I want to thank you all for tuning in today, listening to us online or through your radio, whatever you got, radio app on your phone. Thank you so much for listening, and say it with me, honey, I'm coming home.